Muchie.
Is it time? Let's do this.
It's time for Real Golf Radio, the longest-running nationally syndicated golf show in the country, with insights and experience of professional golfer Bob Casper, son of Hall of Famer Billy Casper, and the passion and, fun of Brian Taylor.
Nice.
Getting you ready for the weekend in golf for 19 years. Now that's real. Here they are, the hosts of Real Golf Radio, Brian and Bob.
And a very good morning. Welcome to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor alongside Bob Casper, son of the Hall of Famer and 1979 Ryder Cup captain Billy Casper. Thanks for joining us as we look back at the 42nd Ryder Cup. It's been a week now to digest what's happened, and there is a lot to talk about and a lot that continues to come out from this convincing win by Europe, 17.5 to 10.5. And it was all olé, olé, olé in France, and a lot of questions being asked by Team USA. Welcome to the show, Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us. Got all choked up already talking about this. Kind of the way the Americans took a 3-1 lead into this
choked
afternoon
session. And yeah, they got choked up.
Kind of choked a little bit.
Yeah. Losing 8 matches in a row, got choked up.
That's what you call momentum, Bob.
You think?
Just a little momentum going the wrong way. You know, when you're in any kind of sport, when you're playing in the visitor's home field, if you will, when you're on the road, it's important to try to take the crowd out of things. And I thought the Americans did that very nicely. Go out and win the first 3 matches of the Ryder Cup. And, you know, it was a little bit quiet out there. It was a little bit flat. And, you know, USA looked like they were picking up right where they left off from Hazeltine. But, boy, that was short-lived.
It was. Very short-lived.
I don't know that when we sat here a week ago, we could have foreseen what was going to roll out here completely. Mm-hmm. We saw what was happening.
Yeah.
We assumed that things would turn around. But, man, when you just get on the wrong side of that momentum, it's awful hard to stop it. There's really no timeouts in golf. You can't stop and try to ice the kicker. You can't, you know, switch up a player or any of those types of things. And it just didn't seem to go the right way. We'll get into all of that. There seems to be more questions than answers. One thing you can be sure of, Team Europe's got some things figured out, and they were fun to watch, and they've been fun to watch celebrate ever since, actually.
Have.
So we'll talk about it coming up. And oh, by the way, there's a new season underway. What do you know? Welcome to golf. Thanks for being with us. Hey, what does it take to be the number one irons in golf? Well, if you ask the engineers at Callaway, they'll tell you one thing: innovation. And they would know, because Callaway's Face Cup technology has made them the number one irons in golf. The Face Cup technology that makes their irons tremendously powerful actually came from their fairway woods and hybrids, which incidentally, those fairway woods and hybrids continue to outperform the competition. Face Cups dramatically increase ball speed across the face, and the second Callaway started engineering irons with Face Cups, everything changed. Golfers started seeing tremendous gains in distance and forgiveness, and of course, the engineers at Callaway keep on innovating. Steelhead, Big Bertha, and Apex irons are all powered by Callaway's game-changing Face Cup technology, and they've all made Callaway the number one irons in golf. To learn more about the technology behind the number one irons in golf, go to CallawayGolf.com. Callaway, the number one irons in golf.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicholas agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
What happens when our most epic driver technology goes rogue? You set the new bar in speed. Then you set it in forgiveness. This is the new jailbreak. It's our fastest driver technology, and now it's in our most forgiving head. That's how you get the most powerful jailbreak effect ever. The new Rogue Driver from Callaway, the number one driver in golf.
So you've thought about LASIK surgery, but you're hesitant. I get it. It's your eyes, and while it's a hassle to deal with contacts and glasses, the thought of a laser in your eye sounds painful and scary. Well, let me tell you, I had the same feelings until I went to Hoops Vision for my free evaluation. I was super impressed with the time they spent, and they put all my concerns to rest. I left excited and confident knowing that I was in the best hands with the latest technology. The day of the surgery was easy. No pain, comfortable massage chairs, and warm chocolate chip cookies to help me relax. And then the miracle. Within a few minutes, I could see. It's an amazing feeling, and now I can see where my golf ball goes, and I enjoy wearing sunglasses and not dealing with contacts that dry up out in the sun and the wind. It's why major champions like Mike Weir chose Hoops Vision. Hoops Vision is world-renowned, and with new techniques such as smile and camera, there are more options than ever before. Visit HoopsVision.com today and schedule your free consultation. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you could save $1,000 off your procedure. More choices, more experience, better vision at Hoops Vision.
Now back to Real Golf Radio with Brian and Bob.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper with you. Thanks for joining us as we wrap up 19 years of talking golf with you. Thanks for being with us each step of the way.
We're just getting started again.
Excited for year 20 coming up here. Yeah. I mean, new season is upon us. The 2018-19 season, which is pretty amazing. A whole week off. Woo! And here we go again. Safeway Open in Napa, California. And Phil Mickelson looking like Phil Mickelson did about 9 months ago, but not so much like he did about 9 days ago. So,
yeah.
Or really
less than that 9 days ago.
Yeah, I know. It sounded good to say it that way, right? I mean, it was kind of, but it didn't. I know. I got it. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Like maybe 4 days ago or 5 days ago.
Yeah. Or really the last 6 months has been not what we had hoped for. So, but anyway, we appreciate you joining us. We're going to talk a lot about the Ryder Cup today. Tim Rosefort's going to join us from Golf Channel Insider. Really excited to talk to him in about 20 minutes. The caddy joins us on the back nine as he does each week. And Jeff Babineau will join us. He's got a new gig and won't be covering golf tournaments the way he has been for the last 20, almost 30 years. But we're excited to have him as he's back from the Ryder Cup. And he had a full international experience, including getting pickpocketed on the way out of town. Wow. I'm anxious to hear how that all went. But anyway, this segment, by the way, is brought to you by Callaway Golf and their limited edition MD4 Tactical Wedges. These are super cool. Check them out at CallawayGolf.com. The MD4, the Mac Daddy 4 Tactical, features a new aggressive look with a distinct tactical PVD finish, black PVD face, and black medallions. Really, really cool. Check it out at CallawayGolf.com. Not to mention, you get the super stopping power of that Groove and Groove technology available from Callaway and the MD4 Tactical Wedges. All right. We're going to have a tactical discussion now, Bob.
Okay.
And I'm just going to open it up for you because, again, I know Ryder Cup runs through your blood. Your dad still, by the way, we thought he'd be passed by Phil Mickelson. We didn't see him going over 2 and getting blanked. So your dad's still the winningest U.S. player in Ryder Cup history and a successful captain back in 1979 at the Greenbrier. So we know how important it is. And I sort of teased you and blamed you for dragging me into this whole thing and getting so excited.
It's all my fault.
But I have enjoyed seeing it through a different perspective, through the family of an actual Ryder Cupper and a proud Ryder Cupper and a successful Ryder Cupper. So as you've taken in years and years and decades of this Ryder Cup, knowing how much it means to you and to see what took place again on foreign soil for the last 25 years, what went wrong? What's your synopsis of what you saw last week?
Well, I think the biggest thing, first of all, is, you know, we talk about the opportunity for both sides to have captain's picks and to both be able to pick four players. And we almost kind of thought about Ian Poulter, Paul Casey, Henrik Stenson, and Sergio Garcia as the old guard because they had, you know, the young guys. Let me tell you, those guys absolutely won it for the European Ryder Cup team. They scored 9.5 points. The old guard. And in doing that, you know, they scored well over half of the European Ryder Cup team points.
They only needed 14.5, and they got 9.5 out of the captain's picks.
Yeah. Just out of captain's picks. Conversely, you look at Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, and Tony Finau just producing just 2 points combined, and those 2 points came from Tony Finau. Tiger and Phil, 0-for, and Bryson, 0-for. So.
Yeah, I mean, Tony goes 2-1, Tiger, 0-for-4.
Yep.
Mickelson 0-2 and Bryson 0-2. So
0-3.
That's right, 0-3. You're right. Sorry. 0-3. Yeah. Because he had the outing with
That's the difference. You know, you look at captain's picks to shore up your team and you know, get hot players that are gonna earn points for you, and they didn't earn points for him. So that's what the difference was in the matches.
So if the difference became the captain's picks, because, again, it's really easy to Monday quarterback these things. But, you know, 2 years ago, I'm forgetting. Who was the European captain 2 years ago? And picked Lee Westwood, Martin Keimer, some of these old guard guys, right?
Right.
And they were awful.
Awful.
And so he got sort of roasted
for
taking guys that were past their prime. And this time, Thomas Bjorn getting credited with picking the old guard that produced, that went 9-4-1.
Yeah.
And won the match for him. So in that sense, it's, you know, if the players perform, then the captain looks like a genius. If they don't, boy, what a horrible tactical error by the captain picking those guys.
Well,
can you imagine if Paul Casey, Ian Poulter, Henrik Stenson, Sergio had an awful year. If Sergio goes out and is a shell of himself and goes 0-3, people are saying Matthew Fitzpatrick won the week before the Ryder Cup, blah blah blah, and you took Sergio who hasn't da 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 da. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's real. That's why I'm having a hard time in putting the analysis. Where does that lie? Because you can certainly use the same argument or criticism of Furyk picking Tiger and Phil as kind of a good old boys club, kind of a, these are my contemporaries, I'm going to pick them, instead of some of these other guys. That's the same criticism that you gave to the European captain in Hazeltine for picking Westwood and Keimer.
Sure.
However, you know, it was because the players didn't perform end of the day.
And that's the bottom line.
Or were they a bad pick?
That's the bottom line, period, is that the players didn't perform. I mean, when you look at what they did, when, you know, you come out and you come out and you start 3-1. You know, that kind of puts the European team on their heels and kind of gets things reeling, and you know the U.S. side's excited and all that kind of thing, and then they go and then they lose their next eight matches. Wow.
All right. So when you say what went wrong, you pointed to captain's picks, but the captain's picks weren't out there. None of them were out there for. Oh, Paul Casey was the only one that was out there in the first session.
Right.
And USA wins 3-1. And then Europe, as you said, they go 4-0-3-1 in the next two sessions.
Yep.
So, and then they split the Saturday afternoon sessions, and then they run away with singles when it kind of was just garbage time at that point. You have to go to that second quarter there, the Friday afternoon foursome where Europe switches the momentum back and wins, you know, all four. And nearly wins all four in Saturday morning four ball. But let's, the momentum really changed there in that afternoon. I guess if you want to be critical, people said, how could you put Phil Mickelson out on that golf
course?
In
four balls.
In alternate shot, foursomes.
Yeah, foursomes, I mean. Yep.
So if you're going to go with the tactical error, I guess you could certainly point to that one.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're Jim Furyk and you have Phil Mickelson on your team, do you not put him out there? Do you not play him at all? In that first day, he ended up not playing him at all on the second day based on how awful he played the first day.
Right.
But shouldn't Phil have been able to figure some things out. And by the way, it's hard to blame Bryson on this thing. I think he got wrecked by as bad as Phil played. And Bryson's a rookie, and he's out here, and they're getting – I mean, he got swallowed up in the middle of it.
He did.
He never had a chance, really.
No. He got put in a bad situation with Phil, and then followed it up with Tiger not playing well either. So, yeah.
But I'm not sure what you do – what you do completely different on that afternoon than what he did. I mean, I get what he was doing. You could say, well, let's ride the hot hand. Let's put, you know, put Tony and Brooks. They're playing well. But yeah. You put Dustin and Ricky back out there. They won their morning session. They got smoked in the afternoon.
They did.
So there's, you know, it just turned around that they just couldn't find a fairway. And surprisingly, that's the surprising thing is as good as these players are, you'd think they'd be able to find a way to hit a fairway one way or another, right?
You know, we talked with Tony Finau, and Tony said that, you know, he was going to hit, you know, four or five drivers, maybe eight if the wind wasn't blowing. And, you know, guys can hit fairways with irons, except for Phil Mickelson.
Well, apparently. But hand it to the Europeans who played some phenomenal golf.
They did.
In very, very difficult conditions. We'll continue on this conversation next.
Hey, travelers. Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780. Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Now back to Real Golf Radio, talking golf back when 300-yard drives were big. for real. Here's Brian and Bob.
The Europeans did a great thing. They did the opposite of what we do when we have the Ryder Cup here. The fairways were 14 to 16 yards wide. Ben Hogan, who is the greatest ball striker of all time, had a 5% margin of error. So if you hit the ball 300 yards, which we all hit it more than that, you need to have a 30-yard wide fairway to be able to hit them. And the fact is they had brutal rough and almost unplayable. And it's not the way I play. I don't play like that. I'm 48. I'm not going to play tournaments with rough like that anymore. It's a waste of my time. I'm going to play courses that that are playable and that I can play aggressive, attacking, make a lot of birdie style of golf I like to play.
All right, there's Phil Mickelson this week at the Safeway Open, Napa, California, talking about the golf course, Le Golf National. And well, he's exactly right in everything he said. And the golf course was hard. The fairways were narrow. The rough was nearly unplayable. You might even say it's dangerous, huh, Phil? Kind of like Oakmont several years ago.
Yeah.
But
it's dangerous. It really is.
Yeah. So, I mean, at 48, why take on such dangerous conditions at your status in the game? The fact of the matter is he's not going to be playing over there again.
No.
Because in 4 years' time, he's at 52. He's not going to be on the Ryder Cup
team. He's not going to be.
So
he could be a captain, but he's not going to be.
Could be.
Or he could get passed by. I don't think so. He's won the PGA Championship. I don't think he'll get passed by.
Oh, he'll be a captain. He's Mr. Task Force guy. He'll be a captain at some point, for sure. Yeah. It just depends on when. So, he's never been a vice captain yet, though.
He has not.
So, presumably, he wants to try to make the team in 2 years here in America.
That's what he said.
I'm not sure there's anyone right now, golf fans, saying, yeah, let's let that happen.
I don't think there's anyone that would pick him. Because I don't think he's going to make it on points.
I think he deserved the one captain's pick. Or I should say he earned the one captain's pick. I don't know that you earned twice after as bad as you played.
No.
So that's the thing. So that takes us back to the discussion of what went wrong. And the next question on that is who's to blame? So, I thought the team handled it really well in the team room. And I don't know that Jim Furyk necessarily did anything wrong. I mean, I think he followed the formula that everybody did.
Right.
There was a couple of surprising moves. One was putting Phil. One was picking Phil.
Right.
But I'll go back to this. this thing is, one, it's an exhibition. Two, Phil Mickelson did win a WGC event this year.
Correct.
He finished just outside. What, he finished 10th?
Yeah.
I think in the points. He's made, 10, 11 consecutive? This is 12th team, I think.
It is.
And so if you make 11 in a row on merit, do you deserve one captain's pick in a year which you won a WGC event, which you finished just a couple of points outside the top eight? I can see that, right? I don't think that a guy in Jim Furyk, who has spent the last 30 years playing golf with Phil Mickelson on the PGA Tour, is going to snub him like that. And I'm not sure that that's the right move to make in the spirit of the game of golf. Okay?
Remember what I was saying a month ago or so before they came out with the captain's picks. Maybe the best thing to do would have been to make Phil Mickelson a vice captain and exchanged the role with Tiger Woods.
And you're exactly right, okay? But that is a massive snub. I'm just saying, especially with the Tiger Phil thing. That would have ratcheted things up a little bit for the their little match they have coming up over Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And Phil was essentially relegated to a captain anyway. On Saturday. He didn't play.
No.
So yeah, you're right. I totally agree with you. Back to my comment. My comment was, in the spirit of the game, I think it was the right pick. If, let me add this to it. If you want to win the Ryder Cup, I think it was the wrong pick.
I agree.
Because Phil Mickelson was certainly trending the wrong way and has really since the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson Tiger Woods on the other hand, was trending in a significant...
Totally trending in the right direction.
Exactly. So, I don't know that you don't pick Tiger. In hindsight, he went 0-4. He didn't help your team a bit.
Not a bit.
He looked old. He looked tired. He looked sore. Well,
and even he said he was tired.
But do you not pick him at that
no,
point?
No, you got to pick him.
And he wanted to be picked?
Yep.
And you saw the Tiger mania that ensued at Eastlake?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if Furyk had left him off the team and the team goes and gets, let's just put the same scenario, same outcome, but Tiger's a captain instead of, he doesn't take his golf clubs after what he did at Eastlake. Can you imagine the kind of criticism that Jim Furyk would have received for not taking Tiger Woods?
Yeah.
So you take him, you don't take him, you lose. You had to take Tiger.
And you had to take Bryson, too.
Bryson Sordo, he won two playoff events. He was
won
already,
three times.
He was number nine in the points, so he was first guy out.
Yep.
He was a no-brainer pick.
Yep.
Why he didn't play more, I guess, could be a question with that riding the hot hand.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. Tony Finau was the big one that people wanted to debate. Kevin Kisner's a straighter hitter. You know, Xander Schauffele is a straighter hitter. These guys, I think, you know, Brandel was all over. Those are the two you should have picked instead of Tony Finau. This golf course demands accurate driving. You need to put another guy in there. You don't need another bomber. You already got all these bombers on the team. DJ, Koepka, Bubba, Tiger. You got Phil. You got all the bombers in there. Get me a more tactician. Well, they went with Tony Finau, and he had a very good Ryder Cup.
Yes, he did.
Extremely good Ryder Cup. 2-1 record.
takes down Tommy Fleetwood in singles 6-4.
The toughest draw you could have received, either Fleetwood or Molinari, and he dispatched of them, you know, just played marvelous, right?
Yes.
So it's hard to say that Tony was the wrong pick. So you
He wasn't the wrong pick.
He wasn't, but I'm just saying
100% wasn't the wrong pick.
So I go back to the only one that I can really say that was the wrong pick was Phil Mickelson.
Yep.
But he only played two matches. And you needed a lot more than two
points you did.
In order to win this thing. So that's why I come back to who's to blame, if you will? Where did this task force system break down that worked so well 2 years ago? And I don't know that it did break down. I think, quite frankly, the golf course was really hard, and Europe played really good golf, and U.S. just showed up and played awful.
I mean, yeah, they played terrible. You know, part of it also is that that you can get into is the stuff that came out as far as Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth.
Okay, that's another topic for sure.
That's another topic, how they split that team up.
So let me ask you, would you have gone back and done it differently?
I wouldn't have split that team up.
You wouldn't have?
No.
Even though JT and Spieth went 3-1?
I wouldn't have split that team up.
They went 3-1, Bob.
I understand that.
Patrick Reed, for all intents and purposes, was begging to play with Tiger Woods, reportedly. You look at it and you say, Tiger and Reed, boy, if there's a guy that's not going to be intimidated by playing with Tiger Woods, that's a guy. And Furyk's thinking, I can get two. I can get this duo that had been playing together since they were kids in JT and Spieth, and I can get Reed, Captain America, can pick up Tiger Woods with. They can both wear their red and black and go out there and roll. I mean, seemed good. Seemed like a good plan.
Seemed like a good plan.
And everybody likes to quote Mike Tyson. Everyone's got a good plan until they get punched in the face. I get it, right? I get it.
My dad always used to say, "You keep riding the hot hand." And the hot hand was Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed, and it has been for 3 years, two President's Cups and a Ryder Cup coming into this one.
So let me ask you this.
So wait a second. Right. So and we're always of the idea that the nice thing is that we've got the President's Cup to figure out what we can, the guys we can put together in the Ryder Cup. So in the President's Cup, we learned that Jordan and Patrick Reed were good together. We also learned that the last President's Cup, we learned that Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas were good together. We also learned that Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka were good together. And yet, we didn't really go to the well with any of that, except for one time with Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka.
It was kind of too late at that point.
And it was too late at that point. So my thinking is, why mess things up? Why why change up what's already been working with the guys that you've had play together?
So the question is then, do you think Furyk had come out with Reed and Spieth, JT and Ricky, DJ and Koepka, and who?
Tiger and Bryson.
They seemingly had played a lot together and were prepared.
Yeah.
If you put those four groups together, do you think it changes things? It's hard to say. Momentum's a big thing.
It is.
If the U.S. had come out and split the afternoon match and took a two-point lead into Saturday,
yeah,
would that have been a difference maker? It could have been. You never know.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to keep that crowd in check, and once it gets rolling, not a whole lot you can
and
do.
And you
got
to keep those Europeans in check too, the players, you know.
Well, interesting stuff. Tim Rosefort, Golf Channel Insider. He was there in France. He joins us next, and we'll get his insights and his thoughts to these questions as well. Looking back at the Ryder Cup right here on Real Golf Radio. Last year, Callaway's transformative jailbreak technology created an epic shift in ball speed and performance. In fact, it made them the number one driver in golf. Now it's the fairway wood's turn. That's right, the new Rogue Fairway is the world's first fairway wood with jailbreak technology. Let me say that again. Callaway has put jailbreak bars into a fairway wood. We're talking about game-changing ball speed here. And of course, every Rogue Fairway comes equipped with Callaway's legendary 360 face cups. When you put these two things together, which is crazy when you think about it, you get the most powerful fairway wood Callaway has ever created. You'll immediately see a difference in distance and ball speed. But stay humble and let your buddies ask, how the heck did you get there in two? Did you just outdrive me with a three wood? And you could just nod and say, yep, I went rogue. Get the details on the new Rogue Fairway at CallawayGolf.com. It's time to go rogue with Callaway, the number one fairway woods in golf.
At the first tee, it's the little things in life we pick up.
Hey, thank you.
That make for a successful future.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Oh, you dropped this.
Because little things can carry a big impact both on and off the course.
Hey, thanks.
To learn more, visit thefirsttee.org.
Callaway Golf has been the fastest growing golf ball brand since 2013, and the ChromeSoft golf ball has been a major part of that. ChromeSoft is extremely fast, incredibly soft, and unbelievably easy to control, which is why Phil Mickelson, Patrick Reed, and Jim Furyk have changed to ChromeSoft. You have to be willing to change to get better. ChromeSoft and the new ChromeSoft X are in stores now. See what they can do at CallawayGolf.com. ChromeSoft. It's the ball that changed the ball.
Your hands, with the grip, they form the connection between you and your club. In a game where feel is so important to playing your very best, great shots begin with a great grip. For every golfer who wants to play better, there's a Lampkin grip.
The difference between tour pros and regular golfers is, well, pretty much everything. But when it comes to putting, the best players in the world generate top spin at impact. Most of us do not. The new O-Works Micro Hinge insert from Odyssey dramatically generates top spin at impact regardless of the putting stroke. Top spin is what gets the ball rolling on its intended line. The Micro Hinge insert is a new way to roll. The new O-Works Micro Hinge insert from Odyssey is in stores now. Go to odysseygolf.com to learn more.
You're listening to Brian Taylor and Bob Casper talking golf since Jordan Spieth was in first grade.
You started it.
That's Real Golf Radio.
All right, welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper with you. Thanks for joining us. You know, there's a lot of opinions. Played in a golf tournament yesterday, and I heard many of them. If you've got some thoughts and want to share with us, go to our Twitter page, @RealGolf. Hit us up on Twitter there, @RealGolf. Let us know what you think. There is a myriad of questions.
Yes.
And, you know, the answers seem to come down to you got to play better. But I suppose there's some tactical things that could be discussed. By the way, this segment is brought to you by Odyssey Golf, the number one putter in golf. And right now, if you go to odysseygolf.com, you can participate in the auction, which ends on Sunday, for a limited edition Phil Mickelson and Sergio Garcia commemorative putter from the Ryder Cup, the putters that they use. So the Versa... the Odyssey Versa, that white one with the stars and stripes, and the Toulon Garage Odyssey Atlanta in that rose gold with the blue and gold finish that Sergio was rolling so capably. You can, again, auction goes through Sunday at odysseygolf.com. All right, so as we mentioned, if you want to hit us up, at Real Golf is the Twitter handle. Let us know what you think. If you've figured out the answers, I would love to know that. And we're going to turn to a guy that, you know, it's his job, I guess, to figure out answers. Although I suspect he probably
has
as many questions as answers these days. And he's the Golf Channel insider and our good friend Tim Rosefort. Pleased to welcome back to the show. Tim, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
Kind of got off the jet lag, and the story continues onward as it relates to the Ryder Cup, and I'm sure that's a big reason why you give me a call today.
Yeah. Well, we want to call you just because we missed you, but yeah, we figured since we had you, we might as well talk Ryder Cup.
I'm feeling the love.
Thank you.
Really am.
That's good. That's what we want. Nothing but love here, man. All right, so you're getting over the jet lag. I do think that the U.S. team is going to be feeling that jet lag, if you will, of this Ryder Cup for the next 2 years until they play. You heard the players say, you know, 2 years can't come soon enough. I started off by just asking Bob, you know, what went wrong? And the follow-up to that is, who's to blame, if anyone? But what, I mean, just in your summary, as you've had a chance to digest this for the last week, what's your synopsis of what you witnessed over there?
Well, you know, you put the controversy aside, the Reed controversy, and some of the what that spun into. I think, you know, when you really get down to it, you know, however the Spieth Justin Thomas pairing came to be, and I think it was just a simple, not wanting to play with Patrick, but more so wanting to play with his guy JT that he's grown up playing junior golf with. And you know, there's a rule, you don't break up a winning team, but at the same time, you know, potentially this had, you know, the makings of two good teams, because if you consider, this obviously wasn't the same Tiger that won the Tour Championship, and this wasn't the same Reed that won the Masters. I mean, both games were not where they needed to be for a test such as that on a golf course like that with rough and water everywhere. And so, you know, once you couldn't get any productivity out of Tiger and Patrick, then it kind of, you know, unwinded into, you know, one of those Ryder Cup controversies that will go on for a long time as it relates to discussion of it and you know, whose fault it really was. I think ultimately, you know, everybody's got to take some responsibility to this, the players for not playing better. It'd be interesting to see what Jim says as it relates to his picks, not only his picks, but also his pairings, obviously, because that's a big part of this takeaway zone that we're in right now. And so that's kind of where I am. You know, it's unfortunate for Jim because he put a lot into it, and
yeah.
It's tough. It's tough winning on the road anyway. And, you know, when you don't, no matter who you are, you're going to get second guessed. And that's where this is right now, almost a week later.
You know, Brian asked me that question and you had mentioned it just in talking there about the picks. You know, you look at the European picks and, you know, initially they kind of, the old guard, so to speak, and the old guard goes out and wins 9.5 points and the U.S. side, only gets 2 points or as far as gaining points for the team. And then those came from Tony Finau. Pretty interesting how that came about and how the old guard was able to get more than half of the points for the European side.
Well, I think if, you know, one way to look at it is if you thought that Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood, and Rory McIlroy would all lose their singles matches, and then there wasn't a U.S. victory out of that, you know, would have been off point, I'd say. You know, if if you have that type of, you know, result, and if you have Finau stepping up the way he did, there just wasn't enough cover, you know, at that point in time. A mark had been set by Europe, and starting with Friday afternoon's performance, and then through Saturday, that I guess in a sense was insurmountable when it comes down to it. But the, you know, Reed, you sort of touched on this. You know, Reed hasn't been right for a while. He found his form going into the singles on Sunday and got a point, but he's been struggling. And you know, next only be two players at the Tour Championship, missed the cut at the PGA Championship. And you know, who are you gonna? Phil Mickelson hadn't had his game for, I guess his last top 10 was Wells Fargo or something way back in the schedule. But the sort of the inside word from the European Brain Trust, which includes, you know, all past captains, was that, you know, they were happy that Matt Kuchar and Zach Johnson and those players who hit it straight weren't in form at the time of the picks, because they might have tempted Furyk into taking him, because this is a golf course not for long ball hitters. It was a guy golf course for target golf. It was like a TPC Sawgrass with a French accent. And, you know, Mickelson, as we know this week, he shot two rounds and said he's never going to play on a golf course with rough again. I think said a lot about, you know, the afterthought of not taking Phil and maybe taking somebody like Kisner, for example. But how do you leave a Hall of Famer like Mickelson, who's been so much a heart of this, you know, this new Ryder Cup initiative by the PGA of America, the committee, and you know, the way it happened, you can debate, but what he put together was basically the same blueprint that the Europeans use. But the essence of it is that Europe's got a blueprint that's been based on winning now for mm-hmm. quite some time. Obviously, no wins for the U.S. in now 25 years and counting on European soil. And you know, and Woods was the shell of himself. And he wasn't there to be like Tiger that we expected, not realizing that it would all, the fatigue and the mental and the physical part of what it took for him to get a W, really, he didn't have another week left, quite honestly. And DeChambeau, you know, wins the first two playoff events and then doesn't do well in the next two playoff events and then has a tough week in France. So it's hard for anybody to think that Furyk would step up to that podium and take anybody other than the three he took, quite honestly. Easy to second guess it now that they're pointless, right? Yeah, DeChambeau was 0-3.
Yep.
Tiger was 0-4, or 5, whatever.
0-4.
And Mickelson, same thing.
Yep.
0-4.
Yeah, it
Two
was
Hall of Famers and a maybe a, I would say a player of the year, but obviously DeChambeau has established himself as a top player. He's been inconsistent, if you criticize him, but at the same time, his highs are tough to match at times. He seems like the next great star, and then a couple weeks later, he looks like a kid who's just trying to find his way.
There was a lot of Tim Rosevoort joining us right here on Real Golf Radio. There was a lot of debate about the Tony Finau pick because he was the last one. He's known as a bomber, and for all the reasons you mentioned about this golf course and what we saw, there was a lot of talk about Xander, Kisner, one of those guys that could have put the ball in play a little bit more. And yet Tony goes out and goes 2-1 and dispatched Tommy Fleetwood pretty impressively on Sunday, which no one had been able to do to that point in time. Ultimately, what's your takeaway on Tony Finau and how he performed?
Well, not only how well he performed in the golf course, but just how well he performed in the media center and on a big stage globally in terms of sportsmanship and talent. And you probably read the column I wrote for golfchannel.com about how the U.S. team needed more Finaus, quite honestly, at the end of the day. He threw 6 birdies at Fleetwood, and until then, Fleetwood and Molinari, as you remember, seemed unbeatable.
Yep.
And you know, if anything, maybe Tony should have played a little bit more, I guess, you know, based on what he showed in the singles and also in his, I think he had one team match. What was he, 2-0-1? I forget, I wrote him, I can't remember.
Yeah, he had two team. He and Brooks went 4 ball both mornings, yeah.
Yeah.
So, 1-1.
You know, that's, again, it's, you know, there's more to it than just saying we should go to Finau more. There's a chain reaction to these things and controversies that ensue from the chain reaction, as we've seen.
Can I ask you this? I had this thrown at me yesterday. I was playing in a golf tournament, and you know, everybody wants to share their opinions, which there are a variety of them. But you know, guys are saying, look, these are the best players in the world. They ought to be able to walk to the first tee, draw their name out of a hat, and say, you two are playing together. Now you two are playing together, and they should be able to figure out a way to go play well together. Is it? I mean, I know that's super simple, and there's a lot that of, you know, science and research and statistics and everything that goes into this whole thing. But at the end of the day, can it be simplified that much?
It is kind of simplistic, but there is something about maybe playing better if you feel more comfortable with your partner. That doesn't speak to singles play, obviously. And I think there's an element that in these deals, the captain always gets slammed and the players, you know, get a pass on it, but they don't take as much heat as Tom Watson did, for example, at Glen Eagles or Mickelson for pitching the idea of this Ryder Cup committee, i.e. task force. But that was sort of about the, you know, the tone more than it was the idea. And I know I'm dancing around your question here, I guess, but basically I answered it by saying it really comes down to the players also.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're the ones out in the golf course feeling the pressure, having to respond to the pressure. And that was the case with Finau, who looked like he owned it. And like I said a minute ago, and I'll say it again, 6 birdies against Fleetwood is pretty strong for a guy who apparently supposedly didn't know how to play shorter golf courses and didn't know how to hit an iron and play off the tee and then score. And it's a big breakthrough for him, I assume. And he's from a confidence standpoint, and couldn't happen to a nicer guy, and it couldn't happen at a better time for golf, to tell you the truth.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Great stuff all week over there. And, it was – we've been to several Ryder Cups. It was hard not to be there because it's such a fun event to cover, even if the U.S. is on the wrong end of it. Just an amazing event, huh?
It really has evolved into that. I mean, I was at 83 at PGA National. I don't want to over-exaggerate on the younger, but I don't know. Maybe a couple thousand people there all week at PGA National compared to – what I've seen it grow to. Only missed one since 83, and just keeps getting bigger and sometimes better, sometimes bitter instead of better.
That's
where we are right now, unless you're flying to European flight.
That's right. Absolutely. Hey, good stuff. Enjoy the off season. Oh, wait, there isn't one. Well, anyway,
there isn't one, right.
Hopefully you get a little bit of a break, and great work all year long. We really appreciate you spending some time with us this morning.
My pleasure, guys. I enjoy being with you.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Take care. Tim Rosenfort joining us right here on Real Golf Radio. Just a really, really good dude. I could talk to that guy. I could hang out with that guy. He's a good, good guy. Good insights. So stay tuned. We'll continue Ryder Cup discussion next here on Real Golf Radio.
Hey, travelers. Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780. It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably.
A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Now back to Brian and Bob.
Hi, welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks to Tim Rosenfort for joining us. If you missed that, you can go to our Twitter feed, at Real Golf, and that'll be posted momentarily if it's not already. Coming up on the back nine, hour number two, you'll hear from America's favorite caddy. Also, Jeff Babineau joins us. He's got a new assignment. He's got a new gig going, but he was in France. Got pickpocketed on the way out of the country. We'll hear about that. Hey, let me go take in a little bit of the city here. And by the way, here's my wallet for whoever pickpocketed him. A little souvenir from Team USA Media.
Yeah.
Unfortunate. We'll get his take on the pickpocket, as well as the way the Europeans pickpocketed the U.S. all week long in that deal. But we also got to break down the players. You know, here's one for you, Bob. We can talk about all the things that we've just talked about for the last hour.
Yeah.
And you can point to the fact that the USA has world number one.
Yes.
And he goes 1-4.
Yes.
He won the first. He won his first match.
Yes, he did. He and Ricky won their first match on Friday morning.
And then blanked. 0-4 after that.
0-4.
That's disappointing. So again, take it for, you know, this is the best team world ranking wise that USA has ever put up there.
Yep.
It's kind of the equivalent of the Olympic dream basketball dream team.
That's right.
If you will.
That's right.
And they just went out and got beat. That's kind of the surprising thing. You go back to, you know, Team USA in Olympic basketball fielding a bunch of the best NBA players, and they go out and somehow get beat by a European professional team that nobody's heard of. It's a bit of a shocker. And anymore, you probably have heard of some of these European basketball players because they play in the NBA.
Yep.
So it's really similar in that matter, but it's Team Spain with Pau Gasol and Marc Gasol and Ricky Rubio and these guys all coming up and finding a way to, you know, take down LeBron James and company. Anyway, we'll talk about it all on the back nine. Stay tuned.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Holding a key swing vote, Republican Susan Collins said she trusts Brett Kavanaugh to cast his own political preference aside as a Supreme Court justice in a lengthy speech on the Senate floor. It looks like he'll be approved when the full Senate votes later today. Collins said she read through the FBI inquiry and testimony of Christine Blasey Ford, who accused Kavanaugh of sexual assault when they both were teenagers. But at the end of the day, Collins said the certainty wasn't there.
The four witnesses she named could not corroborate any of the events.
Shortly afterwards, lone Democrat Joe Manchin of West Virginia said he too would vote to confirm Kavanaugh. Republican Lisa Murkowski of Alaska broke with her party. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn, and through my longtime affiliation with the Libertarian and Republican parties, I've learned a thing or two about how politics and the economy really work. The writing's on the wall. All signs point to a major shift in investing as we know it. If you haven't started buying precious metals, you need to. Call now to order the Wayne Allyn Precious Metals Investors Package, which includes six different silver coins from major mints around the world for only $99. Call 800-885-GOLD. That's 800-885-GOLD. That's 800-885-4653.
I've been telling you for a year how great MyPillow is. Well, guess what? There's a great deal on MyPillow.com. You can get four pillows for about the price of one MyPillow. Click on the four-pack special when you go to MyPillow.com. Enter promo code USA. You'll get two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows, perfect for travel, for half off. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the four-pack special, enter promo code USA, but do it now.
Authorities are investigating a shooting death of a Florence, South Carolina police officer. 30-year veteran officer Sergeant Terrence Carraway was killed and six others injured in a shootout on Wednesday. County Sheriff Leon Lott.
These officers were ambushed very quickly. As soon as they got there, ambush was in place.
74-year-old Frederick Hopkins was charged with murder. Two of the wounded officers have been released from the hospital. The others remain in critical condition. After a seven-day manhunt, suspected killer Kirby Wallace has been captured in Tennessee. Montgomery Sheriff John Fusen.
We can get back to a sense of normalcy knowing that this criminal is in custody and will face justice for what he has done.
Wallace faces multiple charges after being accused of attacking a couple and setting their house on fire, killing the wife and seriously injuring the husband. He's also accused of fatally shooting a man on Monday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has an upcoming trip to North Korea. Here's USA Radio Network's Tim Berg with an update on what to expect.
North Korea lashed out at the United States regarding sanctions. Now, this comes on the heels of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who is set to go to North Korea and meet with dictator Kim Jong-un on Sunday. Rebecca Heinrichs is a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. She joined Fox News to talk about what this trip will accomplish.
The thing that Secretary Pompeo has to communicate to Kim Jong-un whenever he goes and visits him very soon is that it doesn't matter if the North Koreans do all of these other nice things that we appreciate. Ultimately, our eye is still on the prize, and that's dismantlement of the nuclear program. And right now, the North Koreans, they're going to want the United States to lift sanctions. They want the United States to have a peace accord and to finally put an end to officially to the Korean War.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
The Labor Department has released a new monthly jobs report, and USA's Chris Barnes has the numbers.
The report shows the economy adding 134,000 jobs last month when most economists were expecting about 180,000 jobs had been added. The government September jobs report also shows the nation's unemployment rate fell to 3.7%, the lowest since 1969. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
The second nine, the finishing holes, the closing stretch. It starts now. Here's the back nine, our number two of Real Golf Radio. With the steady, stripe it down the middle, make every putt because it's in your blood, Bob Casper, and that better lucky than good handled dragon flipper, Brian Taylor. Here's Brian and Bob.
Hey, welcome in. Hour number two, the back nine of Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper with you. It's Ryder Cup post game a week later, and it's an interesting one. Tim Rosefort joined us in hour number one. Still to come here on the back nine, we'll welcome in America's favorite caddy, as well as Jeff Babineau, our good friend, joining us who has returned from France. If you missed any part of the show, again, you can go to realgolfradio.com, or our Twitter handle is at realgolf. All right, Bob, the questions that we talked about in hour number one, what went wrong for Team USA, and dovetailing into who's to blame on that one. Since the Task Force USA is now 1-1, I wouldn't expect that just because you changed your philosophy, that you adopted a new strategy, that you're going to go undefeated. This was certainly a tough one, but everything was set up to go Europe's favor.
Absolutely, especially right from the get-go with the golf course.
Golf course, the weather, the crowds, it's really hard. It's been 25 years.
Yeah.
It's really hard to win over there.
Right.
Okay? I mean, the Europeans, and I'm not going to blame the golf course. I'm not going there.
Okay,
because
so
last year, 2 years ago, the Europeans said the golf course was too easy. The pin placements were too easy. That these guys just went out and boat raced us. It wasn't even hard golf. I don't even feel like I lost a real tournament because it was so easy. And we're like, wah, 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 sour grapes.
Yep.
So guess what? Golf course is too hard? You're going to go with that? You're going to go with golf course is too hard?
You're the best players
in the world. Come
Another
on.
Another thought, okay? Europe, it seems like the Europeans are more comfortable playing golf courses on our side of the pond than we are playing on their side of the
pond.
That's
the fact.
Okay. And the fact is from that is the European Tour picks golf courses that the European players play all the time.
And that the Americans don't travel to.
And the Americans don't go there. Justin Thomas was the only guy that was on the Ryder Cup team that played there.
He had a pretty good record too.
And he 4-1-0. So Europe is used to playing the golf courses we play. We're not used to playing the golf courses they play.
It's a factor for sure. We'll get into it next.
The new Chrome Soft is better from tee to green. To maximize control, you need a ball with a soft, thin cover. Chrome Soft has a tour urethane cover, which feels incredible. Under the cover is the mantle. The guys in R&D at Callaway have tuned this layer to produce a more penetrating ball flight from 50 to 125 yards. Distance control in the scoring zone is everything. More control means more birdies. And I like birdies. This is the dual soft fast core. So what does it do? It produces ultra low spin off the driver for incredibly fast ball speed. Yet the core is still soft enough for you to compress the ball off the long irons. It's extremely soft and extremely fast. That's the secret behind Chrome Soft. The new Chrome Soft from Callaway. It's the ball that changed the ball.
The difference between tour pros and regular golfers is, well, pretty much everything. But when it comes to putting, the best players in the world generate top spin at impact. Most of us do not. The new O-Works Micro Hinge insert from Odyssey dramatically generates top spin at impact regardless of the putting stroke. Top spin is what gets the ball rolling on its intended line. The Micro Hinge insert is a new way to roll. The new O-Works Micro Hinge insert from Odyssey is in stores now. Go to odysseygolf.com to learn more.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Callaway's transformative gel brake technology created an epic shift in ball speed and performance. In fact, it made them the number one driver in golf. Now it's the fairway wood's turn. The new Rogue fairway is the world's first fairway wood with gel brake technology. And of course, every Rogue fairway comes equipped with Callaway's legendary 360 face cups, making Rogue the most powerful fairway wood Callaway has ever created. Get the distance on the new Rogue fairway at CallawayGolf.com. Go Rogue with Callaway, the number one fairway woods in golf.
The first tee can teach young people how to hit a driver or how to stop a ball out of a bunker. But true success is measured by how well they perform off the golf course, by how well they use values like confidence,
my name is Kyla,
perseverance, and integrity in their daily lives.
I'll pick you off your wall.
The first tee helps young men and women become better golfers, but even more important, better people. Get involved. Visit thefirsttee.org.
Now back to Real Golf Radio with Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper with you. This segment brought to you by Callaway Golf and the Chrome Soft. Chrome Soft X Golf Ball available at CallawayGolf.com or any of your favorite pro shops or retailers. Tell you what, man, this new graphene, we had a good discussion about it last week. Check it out. If you haven't played it, you're going to want to do that. It's a great, great golf ball. Chrome Soft or Chrome Soft X. And by the way, if you missed that interview with Jason Finley, you can go to our website or to our Twitter feed at Real Golf or RealGolfRadio.com. All right. Yes, sir.
You know, we've been talking about Phil Mickelson. He's definitely been a conversation. Talked about Tony Finau. Talked about the Europeans and how they played and that kind of thing. You know, and case in point, you know, Phil made those comments about the fairways, the rough, all that kind of thing. And then here he is playing this week at the Safeway on the PGA Tour, the first event of the 18-19 wraparound season. And he's 10 under par after two rounds and three shots back and tied for second.
How many birdies has he made?
Let me see. I'll tell you.
About 10 times the amount as
he made. I would think so. He's made... birdies. He's made 13 birdies.
There you go.
Okay. Conversely, on the European tour, Tyrrell Hatton, who's a Ryder Cupper, Tommy Fleetwood, those guys are 1 and 2 right now, playing in the Dunhill Links Championship. You got Brooks Koepka at 9 under par. He's right there. Tony Finau is at 6 under par. So you've got guys continuing good play. But guys that played horrible last week, now they're playing better because they feel more comfortable with the type of golf course that they're playing.
This is Dunhill Links, right?
Yeah.
So they're playing, they play Old Course and Carnoustie, is that
Old
right?
Course, Carnoustie, and Kings Barnes.
And Kings Barnes, so they got the three Rota.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, Molinari, Fleetwood, those guys, you know, they played well at Carnoustie and... St. Andrews is wide open. I mean, it is
wide open,
especially compared to what they just played. Yep. So they got to be loving that.
Yep.
But let's look at the singles matches. We talked about the fact that there was a chance for the U.S. to try to, I mean, a 4-point deficit has happened before. Of course, Europe does a great job. They stack McIlroy, Casey, Rose, Rahm, Fleetwood, Poulter, you know, that's their first half lineup. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you put that out there, you think, okay, we know the Americans are going to front load, so we're going to front load and we're going to try to stop this momentum and don't let it even get down the tracks, right?
Right.
So USA goes with Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, Webb Simpson, Tiger Woods, Tony Finau, and Dustin Johnson to lead things out. So JT and Rory get paired together, and you know this is going to be one of those epic matches.
Yeah.
And it was. JT gets the point, you know, wins the first hole right out the gate, and then roars back with three in a row. And then, you know, before the front nine's over, JT squares it back up, and then they bounce back and forth, you know, in the middle of the back nine, and then they're kind of playing along even until the 18th hole, and JT steps up in a clutch, stripe it down the middle drive.
Yeah.
And Rory, with the pressure on him, hits just – got. A bad drive that ended up with a really horrible situation.
Yes.
Where he just plugged in underneath the lip of a bunker, couldn't get out, and essentially JT never even had to hit a second. Yeah, we hit a shot onto the green, it was over.
Yep.
Hats off to JT, and the way he handled himself. Sometimes he gets criticized for being a little bit of a me guy and maybe somewhat of a bad attitude sometimes, but I thought he handled himself. I couldn't have been more impressed with how Justin Thomas handled himself.
He was the highlight for the team as a rookie.
Right. Well, and again, we have a hard time saying he's a rookie.
But right.
He's a Ryder Cup.
But he had never
rookie.
Played a Ryder Cup That's before.
Right.
And there's a definite difference between a President's Cup and a Ryder Cup.
No doubt. So JT with the big win over Rory. Okay, you're saying, okay, there you go. And then you got Paul Casey and Brooks Koepka. And, you know, again, this one went a little bit back and forth, but for the most part, Brooks had the lead in this one. And then he drops it on the 17th hole and loses it to a half on the 18th hole. And that was a big one. You know, that could have kept the momentum going.
It was a half a point still.
Still got the half a point.
But, yeah.
Webb Simpson, hey, hats off.
What
Webb
a
Simpson,
stud.
Yeah, he's just clutched up and took out Justin Rose.
He just kind of got after it right off the get-go, birding the second and third holes. Or winning the second and third holes, and really he won 5-2 and ended up closing it out 3-2. So, and the putt he made on the 16th hole.
How good was that?
After Justin Rose made the one to kind of keep the match going.
Yeah, with a big fist pump, Justin was trying to.
And Webb Simpson knocks it in on top of it.
That was massive.
That was studly,
Where
man.
Was that the rest of the week from everybody else?
Exactly.
So Webb Simpson had a good week, actually.
He did have a good week, and yet he didn't get to play all that much. It's kind of interesting.
John Rahm and Tiger Woods, man, you just thought getting to singles. Tiger was, what, 4-1-0 or 4-1-1 or something like that in singles?
Yeah.
And then, you know, John Rahm with just the highlight reel of his entire career, playing against his boyhood hero in Tiger Woods, and he goes out there, and what a back nine. I mean, Rahm jumps out early, Tiger punches back, Rahm punches back, Tiger punches back, and ultimately Rahm at the end with a massive celebration to take out Tiger Woods. And at that point in time, the momentum, you know, and Tony Finau had already dispatched a Fleetwood 6-4 at that point.
Yep.
So the U.S. had some things going, and unfortunately Tiger couldn't, you know, hang on and win his match, and that hurt. And then at the same time that Tiger was losing his match, Dustin Johnson was, you know, after playing well, and I think through 10 was all square, watched Ian Poulter win six holes.
He got to one up in his match. Dustin Johnson did. And then Poulter wins, 4 out of the last 6 to beat him, 2 up. But, you know, if you're 4 points down, and it's been proven when the U.S. team won and also when the Europeans won, you gotta win those first 6 matches if you're 4 points down to have a chance.
Because that adds pressure to the second half wave, right?
Exactly. And they didn't. They won 3. They got 3.5 to 1.5 in the first 6 matches.
And then it was, so Poulter with a 2-up win on DJ. Spieth got routed. He only won 2 holes. Loses 5-4 to Olesen, who...
How can Jordan Spieth not have ever won a singles match?
It's in any competition.
And 5-4 to Thorbjørn Olesen.
I don't think he's won one in President's Cup either, right?
He's over. He's never won a singles match. Any team competition.
It's a head-scratcher, man.
I just don't understand it.
That is crazy. Ricky Fowler loses to Sergio 2-1.
See, I don't understand that one.
That was a match he should have won.
I knew that Mickelson was going to get steamrolled.
Yeah, when he drew Molinari, there wasn't a chance. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered who Phil drew. He was playing awful, but Molinari just was solid. Patrick Reed actually stepped up, beat Trail Hatton, who was one of the hot players for Europe. He gets a 3-2 win, shushes the crowd a couple of times, all too late. I mean, my favorite line that I heard is that Captain America went Aquaman for the Ryder Cup.
Bubba Watson should never play on foreign soil in the Ryder Cup. Never. Sorry, Bubba. We know you made it on points, but you're not playing this year.
You're not playing.
Because he hates going to Europe, he hates playing over there.
He said bad things about Europe. European golfers.
He hates it.
So he gets smoked by the Iceman, which, by the way, how good was Henrik Stenson last week?
Yeah.
And that guy has not done a whole lot lately, but he stepped up and played awesome in the Ryder Cup. And then, you know, again, in garbage time, it didn't matter. Bryson DeChambeau is the last one out, which is kind of an interesting, if it was going to come down to it, and that's your anchor guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Bryson was 0 for 2.
0-2, yeah.
He jumps out early, and then his match gets flipped, and Alex Noren, who won on this golf course earlier this year, ends up getting the one-up win. So that's how singles went.
Making a bomb on the final hole. See that?
Yeah.
Bomb he made? 65-footer or something like that.
How about Tony Finau's bomb that he made on 16?
Oh, yeah.
No, it wasn't 16. That was the day before. That was in the team competition. Tony made a couple other ones. Oh, he holed out.
Yeah.
Had some great what?
Couple
some,
hole outs.
Yeah, a couple of just great chip highlights.
Chip-ins, whatever.
Tony.
Yep.
All right, Caddy joins us next as we continue talking Ryder Cup. Thanks for joining us here on Real Golf Radio.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government, and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free. Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Pick up your phone and call right now. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. Once again, that's 800-932-5517. Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Now back to Real Golf Radio, talking golf back when 300-yard drives were big. For real, here's Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us. This segment brought to you by Callaway Golf and the Rogue Driver. Check out CallawayGolf.com. Rogue Driver, Fairway Woods, Hybrids. Unbelievable lineup. You know they have to come out with stuff every year.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to come out with something next year. I thought the Rogue was just going to be a different colored Epic driver.
Yeah.
It's not. It's better.
Yeah.
I hit that driver so good. I'm like, okay, well, you're telling me you're going to come up with something better? Because I don't know how to hit it any better than I'm hitting it this year. But I'm anxious to see what you do.
Yeah.
Check it out, CallawayGolf.com. All right, I'm trying to think of – I made some notes here because I wanted to make sure that we covered some things. And we're going to talk about Patrick Reed a little bit more with Jeff Babineau coming up. But the caddy's joining us right now. Some of the other questions that I've pointed out here is, how do you explain Tiger and Phil going 0-6?
Yes.
What makes the Europeans play so well? What's the future of this Ryder Cup for the strategy for Team USA? I mean, those are some of the questions that I think are out there. But lost in all of that is, you know what, this is a great event. It continues to grow.
It's wonderful.
It's the best golf to watch, in my opinion, of anything that golf produces.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty remarkable stuff.
Well, you think about the Europeans and how much importance they put on this event, okay? In their eyes, it ranks right up there with every single one of the major championships. And I don't get excited about the day in and day out events unless they're like super compelling,
right,
with what's going on and how, like the Tour Championship and,
sure,
Tiger winning after coming back, that kind of thing. I get excited about the major championships. I get excited about the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. And by the way, kind of, I just toot my own horn for a second.
Yeah.
I think I said in the preview show 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
that Tommy Fleetwood was going to be the next Ian Poulter.
Of course.
And
yeah,
but that was pretty easy to see coming.
Yeah.
And Tyrrell Hatton was going to be this year's Jamie Donaldson.
just kind of say.
Yeah. A guy that probably most people haven't heard about that steps up and plays unbelievable golf.
Yep.
So anyway, kind of interesting. All right, caddy's on the line. Here we go.
There are bag rats. And then there are caddies.
Maybe.
Pro jocks who are legends in caddy shacks across the PGA Tour.
While we can neither confirm nor deny the existence of this legendary looper,
here he is, the caddy, on Real Golf Radio.
What I don't get is, how can we expect guys like Jamie Donaldson, Tyrrell Hatton, and these kind of guys that we just expect them to show up at the Ryder Cup and play amazing golf? We don't, on the other hand, expect our best players to show up at the Ryder Cup and play great golf. And that,
yep,
in and itself is a bit of a mystery. Caddy joining us right now on Real Golf Radio. Caddy, good morning.
So people are still talking about this Ryder Cup, really.
Well done. Well played.
You know what this is? You know what this is? It's the 1 week that golf is – it's People Magazine and TMZ for the week with golf and everybody. It's just such a, you know, there's that commercial where they have the, it's the little animals in the office and somebody's breaking up with their boyfriend and they're all like, oh, Sherry broke up with Jim. And they're going, it's kind of like this, it's so different. It is. Look, Bob, I'm right with you on your little description of what she gets excited about and don't. And I will tell you that I was awake at 2 a.m. from tee shot number one watching those matches live on the East Coast. So,
yeah, I think we all were.
I don't get up at 2 a.m. for any other event.
So No, there's no way. I mean, I'm not.
British
I'm
Open not, and this, we get up early.
I don't even get up that early for British.
That's right. That's right. I mean, there you go. So it is an awesome event. Let's look at that first. I mean, gosh, it generates so much interest. It's really something else.
Well, so what's your synopsis? What do you think? I mean, what went wrong for Team USA? Is there some blame to go around? How do you explain some of the things that we saw?
So let me explain a couple things
Splain.
And see what you think.
So, explain away.
First of all, and I was texting this to lots of my friends. I might have texted you guys.
No, we're not your friends. I didn't get anything.
Before the okay, then there you go. Before the matches started or as they were going on, and I was like, you know what? Fleetwood Macaroni is going to win 5 points. It's just the greatest. They're just too good, these guys. The way it's a perfect golf course for them. They're great ball strikers. It was just perfect for those two guys.
Yeah.
I was expecting a response on my Fleetwood Macaroni pairing comment, but
I like
that's
that.
Okay. I think it's good. I like it way better than Mollywood or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah, they went with Mollywood, but yeah, I like your Fleetwood Macaroni. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not sure my math is correct on this because I'm not great with numbers, even though my job is to do numbers. But
mm-hmm.
If Fleetwood Macaroni get 5 points, right?
Well, one of them got five. The other one got four.
No. The total, right?
Yeah.
They totaled 5 points, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So I thought they were going to total six. Well, when they total five, that means that there are 14 matches left to play, if I'm not mistaken, and Team Europe only has to win two of those matches to win the cup.
Yeah.
Think about that. You have to win two out of 14 to win the cup when you have two guys that hot. That's virtually impossible to not do. Right now, look, I'm using stats to make a kind of a – I'm twisting this a little bit because that means you'd have to have the other.
Right.
You couldn't lose any of the others. But my point is when you have two guys playing that well and that strong, it's an enormous – it's almost over at that point. Let's put it that way. You need to have a Hazel – you need to have a Brookline to not lose the cup.
Right.
It's that brutal – so nobody's really considering the strength of that team and the importance of what they did. And look who they went up against. They go up, you know, the luck of the draw had them go up against Tiger several times. So one of our best players on a course that really should suit him pretty well has to play these guys when they're at their very, very best. And, you know, Patrick didn't play well with Tiger that first round, period. There's just no way around it. And so that was a, you know, that's a tough match to win, and they didn't win it. But here's another thing I'm going to offer. We might have won the cup by 6 points if Fleetwood doesn't make the putts on 15 and 16 in the morning of the first match. Because if he doesn't make one of those putts or both of those putts, they go it's 4-0 U.S., which is, you know,
like
that's
last
momentum.
Time. Like last time at Hazeltine,
yeah.
4-0, first match or first
Momentum
session.
Momentum City. I mean, it's like, wow, that's a body. Now 3-1's kind of a body slam, but 4-0 is really a body slam. Momentum's huge in the Ryder Cup, and it turned in the afternoon, but it turned. It doesn't turn if he doesn't make those two putts. So I know that sounds crazy, but that may have made Europe probably doesn't win if he doesn't make those two putts the first round. Now let's go to something else. Here's an interesting reason. Why do we always lose in Europe, right? Okay, how many guys on the European team played in the playoffs at Eastlake?
I think there were six in the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah, six so, are in the final. Yeah.
I don't know if we discussed this last week, but 11 of our 12 guys played all those playoff events. Half of their team played those playoff events. That means half of their team was significantly more rested than we were. Half of their team didn't have to recover from jet lag on the way over to Europe. Bob, you know that it doesn't take much when you're jet lagged to completely throw your game
yeah.
into the garbage can.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about that. I think it's kind of indisputable that But Tiger Woods looked exhausted that week to me. He just looked tired and flat.
Really tired.
And he should have been. Look what he had just been through. Look at the emotion of what happened at Eastlake. He was just basically fried going to that cup. So he was the best player. He was one of the best players, if not the best player in the world, from the middle of the summer to the end of Eastlake. And but he wasn't that. He didn't probably physically didn't have it when he got to Paris and didn't have time to recover. People probably won't put much stock into what I'm saying about this, but it is a big deal when you're that tired and you're jet lagged and you can't recover. And then you get on a golf course where there's no margin for error.
None.
And it exacerbates that stuff, right?
Yep.
It makes it worse. So I think that is a big factor. And here's the thing. Guess what? We can't change that. There's no committee that can do anything about that. As long as we have to play that much right before the cup and they don't, and we're jet lagged coming over there, it's way easier to go west than it is to go east, by the way, on an airplane. You're not jet lagged when you come to the west. You're jet lagged when you go to the east, right?
Yep.
It's a huge difference. That until that changes, and it probably won't, we're at a big disadvantage in this that we can't do anything about. So anyway, that's a little bit of my take that I think it's a factor that I've never really heard anybody else discuss.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff, Caddy. That unfortunately concludes the amount of time we have to talk with you this morning. So that was good stuff, though. I like it.
You brought it.
Brought it. Well, I've been thinking about it a little bit.
Yeah.
As we all have. Hey, you know what? Look, I haven't heard anything else that's more acceptable than that. I mean, everything else is just throwing things out there, and I think you might as well go with that theory. I'm with it.
That's why I make the big money.
Yeah, that's it.
Right.
All right, check's in the mail, buddy.
Thank you, gentlemen.
There you go. It's Caddy joining us right here on Real Golf Radio. Jeff Babineau is going to join us coming up next. Sure, there's something to that. And I'll add, when you go from Eastlake where it's 100 degrees,
yep,
and you're playing in hot, sweaty conditions, and then you got freezing wind.
You got rain gear and stuff on.
It does. It affects it. There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
Unless you're Trail Hatton and Patrick Reed, you just wear short sleeves anyway.
Yeah.
All right, Babs next. So you've thought about LASIK surgery, but you're hesitant. I get it. It's your eyes, and while it's a hassle to deal with contacts and glasses, the thought of a laser in your eye sounds painful and scary. Well, let me tell you, I had the same feelings until I went to Hoops Vision for my free evaluation. I was super impressed with the time they spent, and they put all my concerns to rest. I left excited and confident knowing that I was in the best hands with the latest technology. The day of the surgery was easy. No pain, comfortable massage chairs, and warm chocolate chip cookies to help me relax. And then the miracle. Within a few minutes, I could see. It's an amazing feeling, and now I can see where my golf ball goes, and I enjoy wearing sunglasses and not dealing with contacts that dry up out in the sun and the wind. It's why major champions like Mike Weir chose Hoops Vision. Hoops Vision is world-renowned, and with new techniques such as smile and camera, there are more options than ever before. Visit HoopsVision.com today and schedule your free consultation. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you could save $1,000 off your procedure. More choices, more experience, better vision at Hoops Vision.
And here's Ricky on 12. What a comeback it's been for him today. Pin placement is a little tricky. We're seeing something. Something is getting closer. Holy.
What the?
And that'll cost him.
It can be dangerous to drive while distracted. Yet at any daytime moment, almost 660,000 drivers across the country are using electronic devices while they drive. Join me and commit to always driving distraction-free.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
You can tell a lot about a golfer by the way he sets his hands on the club. Is he squeezing the life out of it, or is it like he's cradling a newborn baby? Holding it light so he can feel the club head eliminates tension, increases swing speed, and improves accuracy. These are the things our grips promote. Because the secret to golf isn't how you put your hands on the club, it's the way you put your hands on a wind grip. Win, play your best golf.
When Callaway first equipped their drivers with jailbreak technology, they completely changed the game. A new bar for ball speed had been set, and golfers everywhere started to take notice. So what? You think they were just going to call it a day? Not a chance. Nope, they took their most epic technology and went rogue. The new Rogue Driver has taken jailbreak distance and made it more forgiving than ever. The new jailbreak bars are lighter and stronger, which allows Rogue to redistribute its weight throughout the head. When you have a reshaped, more forgiving head, well, you get more forgiveness. Forgiveness you didn't even think was possible out of a driver that fast. No more playing it safe, folks. Tight fairway? Bomb it anyway. Water in play? Clear it. That's the power of the jailbreak effect. And that's why Callaway is the number one driver in golf. You're either playing it or you're leaving yards on the table. Go rogue with Callaway. Get the details now at CallawayGolf.com. Callaway, the number one driver in golf.
You're listening to Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, talking golf since Jordan Spieth was in first grade.
You started it.
That's Real Golf Radio.
All right, welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us. This segment brought to you by Odyssey Golf. As we mentioned, there is an auction going on right now through Sunday, through tomorrow evening, where you can go on to odysseygolf.com and put in a bid for those two limited edition Ryder Cup putters, one used by Phil Mickelson and one used by Sergio Garcia. Pretty awesome. This is your opportunity through tomorrow. Check it out, odysseygolf.com. You're right, Bob, when you're talking about... Oop, that's got some noise going.
Sorry. Didn't mean that.
You got a commercial playing on your phone there. When you talk about the schedule, it was in years past, there was the Tour Championship, and then there was a week off, and then the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And they switched it up and said, look, if the FedEx Cup means so much, take the week off before the Tour Championship.
Yeah.
So they did. Played right into the Ryder Cup. That's probably okay if you're going from Atlanta to Hazeltine.
Yeah, I think when you're going to Europe, I think they need to schedule it so you have a week. That way you can get there a little bit early, like on a Friday or Saturday, have the week off to recuperate after the Tour Championship, get there on a Friday or Saturday, and then be ready on Monday to start working and practicing and stuff.
When you listen to Tiger's interviews earlier in the week, and he was like, I couldn't tell if he was
playing it down
or if he was literally like asleep. I mean, it was not good.
Yep.
It was not good. Is Babs on the line? Oh, yep. Sorry to keep him waiting. Jeff Babineau joining us right now on Real Golf Radio. Babs, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I was just sitting here enjoying listening to the 2020 Ryder Cup Task Force.
Well, I don't know what to think, man. It's got to be, the old drawing board kind of thing. But, you know, at the same time, look, since the Task Force came to be, the Team USA is 1-1. I can't think that you would expect to go, undefeated just because you have a quote-unquote Task Force, right? But when you look back on this, what's your take? What's your thoughts?
I got three words for you, because we sit around and try and figure this thing out, dissect it, talk about pairings, and we get over there, I got three words. Europe played great.
Yep.
They played great. And I think it's arrogant on all of our parts to never give them credit for that. We're always figuring out what the U.S. did wrong. You know, Phil Mickelson's up there saying, hey, you put us in position to succeed, and we do, and this and that. I mean, it's arrogant. Europe played great. They get this team deal. They embrace some smaller roles. They go out there, a guy like Henrik Stenson, he's told he's only playing three times, so he goes out and gets you 3 points. They just do an unbelievable job with a team deal, and they just whooped us.
Yeah, and you said three words. I say two, play better. That's what it is. It's play better. You know, if you want to win the cup, then guess what? You got to play better. And our guys played like dogs. I mean, when you look at Tiger coming off of his tournament, you look at Phil – and you look at Bryson, all captain's picks, they were 0-for. And the only one who everybody was concerned about was Tony Finau, and he wins 2 points out of the four captain's picks.
He looked great. He looked great. Justin Thomas looked great. The world number one won his opening match and then lost the next four.
Right.
That's a hit scratcher.
The world number one.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. The world number three won his first match and didn't win another. play better. You're right. But I just think it's so arrogant of us to go over there and just think we're going to tee it up. And if this is a great team, which it is, and if we're on, we're going to run away with this thing. I knew from the start. I looked for bookie shops the minute I got in France, wanted to bet Europe, because it just lined up so perfectly for them. Guys like Sergio coming in there and everyone questioning why he's even on the team. And then it's like he has some magic pixie dust on the way to the tee on Friday. And it's amazing the way Europe does it, and they do it to us all the time.
Yep.
At the same time, it's the, world ranking-wise, it's the best team USA has ever fielded. We're coming off a convincing win at Hazeltine. Tiger Woods is back and just won the Tour Championship. There seem to be a lot of things going well for Team USA in this one. And quite frankly, a lot of question marks. You just mentioned Sergio Garcia. I mean, he had an awful year. Hasn't made a cut in the majors since winning the Masters. It's a head-scratcher, right? And then...
Yeah.
Somehow he turns it around just because it's Ryder Cup. So
you got somebody who's got your back.
Right. I mean, if you put Dustin Johnson against Ian Poulter and we travel the world and play 100 courses, what does Dustin win? 85 of those matchups?
You'd think.
He wasn't going to win on Sunday. Not at that place and not against that guy. I mean, that guy's a Superman. And they produce those guys. I mean, we thought we might have one and we might still – with Patrick Reed, and who knows, maybe Justin Thomas will be a great Ryder Cupper. And we've talked about this. The U.S. has not had a great Ryder Cup player in decades. And, Europe produces them off an assembly line. Monty and Sergio, now Justin Rose and Poulter, Langer. I mean, it's just amazing. And I don't know, man. I think when things start to go bad, we have a lot of scar tissue and we start thinking about, man, this thing's starting to fall on us again, and it's just not a good mindset to be in.
Yeah, Jeff Babineau joining us here on Real Golf Radio. I'm with you. I mean, we talked about this off the beginning of the show. With a week to let the emotions die down, you just have to appreciate the way the Europeans play. And and quite frankly, they're fun to watch. They are. It's hard though because they're the other team, and you feel. It's the one golf event that it stirs up the emotions of watching your favorite college football team or your favorite professional sports team, where you just feel like you've got so much invested in it, right? Because there's a patriot sort of feeling. There's the team and all of that. Like, that's what makes it so great. And so at the time, you're emotional and you're upset and you can't, root for these people or see it. But when you sit back and analyze it, man, the Europeans play some unbelievable golf in this event.
They really do. They rise. And I mean, they're trying to get, all these flags under one flag. I mean, these guys are all playing for their own countries and then for Europe and then for each other, and that's a big ask and they do it. It is incredible. I mean, I think Bjorn was brilliant. I love the way, Friday morning, it was the only session they lost. They lost 3-1, but he got four of his rookies on the golf course.
Yep.
That's huge. That's huge. I mean, we didn't get Bryson DeChambeau out there till the afternoon. He wasn't playing his own ball, and you never quite get into the flow of the Ryder Cup, right? I mean, he played two foursomes matches and plays his own ball in the singles on Sunday. So they just, they check every box. They hand off a big book year to year, stuff they do, and I think the old culture where we thought Europe was tight because they traveled all these faraway places together, that's a little bit archaic. I mean, that's gone. A lot of these guys live in the States, and they're in Arizona and South Florida and all over the place. But they still have this culture of team, and they do such a good job with it, and it was impressive.
So what do you think of – how much of it, if any? I mean, because it's easy to say that Jim Furyk should have this or would have this. What's your opinion and report on, report card on Furyk and how he captained?
Yeah, I mean, I always throw a disclaimer out there. I mean, he certainly put a lot more thought into these pairings than I ever would, But I just thought you had Phil and Bryson DeChambeau, who you could tell through the practice sessions that these guys were going to be together. They're sixth and seventh on tour in birdie average. That, to me, screams four balls,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
Let Phil play his own ball. Let him make six birdies on his three other holes, quote, unquote. Let Bryson be in there, and maybe they can do something. But putting him out there, I mean, Furyk's reasoning made a little bit of sense. He wasn't going to be hitting drivers all day long. you should be able to get irons and three woods in the fairways. But I just thought those guys screamed a four ball pairing, and that didn't happen. And I thought it put Bryson in a tough spot to play a road Ryder Cup, your first one, and be out there in foursomes. I didn't think they had much of a chance. So, in that way, and then honestly, the letting Spieth and Justin Thomas play together, I think broke up three pairings. We had three good pairings finally going into a Ryder Cup.
Yep.
You know, you had Reed and Spieth, you had Justin Thomas and Ricky played well at the President's Cup, and you got the macho man, you know, you got DJ and Koepka.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, when you put Spieth with Justin Thomas, three of those dominoes fall, and now you're playing four guys on Friday morning when we won three cups in a row that they're all new pairings. So that was a bit of a head-scratcher to me as well.
I agree with you 100%. Mm. And you know, the other one, you know, you talked about Phil and Bryson DeChambeau. You know, Phil and Bryson DeChambeau hadn't been playing golf all year together when Tiger Woods and Bryson had been playing golf all year together. So I don't know. My dad always said you got to ride the hot hand in cup type competitions, and until Reed and Spieth start losing every match and that kind of thing, you got to keep riding that one.
I'm with you. I mean, I don't care how those two feel about each other. They're good as a pairing. I mean, I think they're out there when they play four ball, they're out there trying to beat each other.
Yeah.
But it works, right? What was it? 6-1-2. Reed went in there, and so they were 4-1-2 together. It works. So when I saw that early, I'm like, why? I thought they were going to play until it didn't work. And then when I saw, Justin Thomas and Spieth played well. They went 3-1. But I think it was at the cost of the team. So that's how I viewed that. I mean, I don't really care how you get along. I care how you two play together and get out there and give me a point.
Yeah, make each other play better. Yep.
What do you think of Patrick Reed and some of the stuff that's come out since then? Does he have a beef? Is he going about this the wrong way? What's your take?
Well, you know, yeah, it's a tough spot to be in. I'm sure he had a lot of pent-up frustration when he was saying what he said to the New York Times. Honestly, though, a buddy of mine had called Jim Furyk this week, and I think Jim's trying to figure out when he's first going to really kind of talk about all this. But if Patrick Reed went to France and didn't learn that he was not paired with Spieth until Wednesday night, now we got to see if that's a true statement. If it is, then that's the old miscommunication that used to be a problem with us. I mean, that's inexcusable in my mind. I mean, I would have thought you could tell him and say, look, hey, but here's the thing, you're going to get Tiger Woods, and that would make him happy enough. But, I don't know. There was a question all along who Tiger is going to play with. I thought Justin Thomas might get a game or two with him.
Yeah.
And he and Reed just didn't really – Reed just seemed like a different guy, right? He wasn't the alpha male in that one. That was – he's with the greatest guy of all time, and he's a little bit subdued there, and it just didn't work.
And at the same time, it didn't seem like Tiger really loved playing with Reed either, because when Tiger finally bounced out with Bryson, his body language was completely different than it was with Patrick Reed. Even though they lost, Tiger seemed to have a better bounce to him and a better sort of body language, if you will.
Yeah, I agree. And he looked gassed. And, you know, that happened. I remember Snedeker in 12 when he came off the Tour Championship win or wins the FedEx Cup. And you're like, hey, this is the hottest guy on the planet. Well, he was also the most tired guy on the planet. And, I mean, I think Tiger, that happened with him. It kind of all caught up. There was an awful lot of emotion that went into winning again. And I think that, you know, not to make excuses for him because he didn't play very well, but I think that did catch up. And he was always going to be a question mark, you know. Could you play him in two sessions a day? Who do you play him with? And, I mean, that is just not his event. It's not his event. It's not Phil's event. And it hasn't been Jim Furyk's event. And, I mean, I think you got to push some of this young blood through and start a new chapter there. Mm.
Yeah, I think you're right. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but we appreciate you joining us. Great insights. And, hey, the pickpocket story, what a fitting end, huh?
Yeah.
to a week in France.
I was like the U.S. team. I came home empty.
You didn't even care about a trophy. You just wanted your identification.
Oh, man.
Well, hey, thanks as always, man. Great stuff.
Appreciate it.
You do a great job, and hopefully we'll still be chatting with you, huh?
You got it.
Okay.
You got it, guys.
All right. Take care. There you go. Jeff Babineau joining us. And the dog's getting in on the action at the end. They had something to say. Babs got a new gig coming up and isn't going to be covering tournament golf on a regular basis, but hopefully we'll still check in for his great insights and opinions on this great game. Stay tuned. More Real Golf continues next.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days. And anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now. 800-428-1570.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them, but do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family, or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Now back to Brian and Bob.
Hey, thanks to Tim Rosa for Jeff Babineau and the caddy for joining us. If you missed any part of the show, check it out at realgolfradio.com or our Twitter handle at realgolf. All right, Bob, in the seconds that we have left, summarize it for me.
Play better. Like I said with Jeff, you just got to play better. I understand, I think the Europeans get rid of all the egos, get rid of all the I just won the FedEx Cup, all that kind of thing. They get rid of all that, and they play as a team, and they play better. And I think that's what the U.S. is going to have to do, too. Get rid of all the egos, get rid of I didn't get paired with whom or whatever. Go out and play better.
And if the golf course doesn't suit you, play different. Do
figure
what you need
out.
To do.
Yeah. You got to figure it out.
Yeah, pretty interesting. Congratulations to Team Europe on an impressive display of golf. For Dave and Bob, I'm Brian. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to Brian and Bob on Real Golf Radio. Join us on Twitter at Real Golf or on our website at realgolfradio.com.
It's been real.